Hello, everyone out there in internet radio land. This is Blake Ruby from San Antonio. I hope you're having an enjoyable day today. I'm sitting here in my patio, as usual, watching the sun go down, breathing in this fresh air out here. Well, I've got a whole hour to talk about whatever I want to talk about. It's great. I can feel that there are people out there listening. And how have you been over the last 2 weeks? Well, I hope staying alive and enjoying life, developing yourself spiritually, I hope we all are. I've got so many things I can talk about today. I've written down a lot of subjects. But since today is a special day, as you know, Easter Sunday, otherwise known as Resurrection Day, I thought I would talk about that. But before I do, let me just say some things I talk about might not be acceptable, if you will, for some people out there in internet radio land listening to the show. And don't let me... Hold on. I need to open up the door. One of the dogs wants to come out. I'll be right back. Just a few seconds. That was one of our female dogs, an American Pit Bull Terrier. Her name is Goldie. And she just went out to the backyard to do her thing, I believe. So don't let me shake your face with what I say. All that I've learned from other people, books that I've read, and I might forewarn you that some of these things I do talk about might seem a little bit hard to believe, but what I talk about is logical. Logic is really the base of my belief, and I can always explain the things that I say, what I believe in. So, let's talk about Jesus Christ. I'll talk about Jesus. Feel free to call at any time if you want to talk about what I've just said. I went to church today. Actually, I went to 3 services. And I call myself a Christian more than any other religion, if you will. And I still believe that religion is a money-making business, you know. And all the different religions in the world, each one professing to tell the truth, that theirs is the truth. Logically, it can't be possible. You agree? That's logic. Logically, there's only one truth. There can only be one truth. So which one is telling the truth? Is it the Christians, the Muslims, the Islamists, the Hindus, the Buddhists? Well, with Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus is a hard subject, a hard thing to believe in. And all those years ago, there was that divine intervention. Not only the resurrection, if you believe it's true, was the greatest miracle, really, that we know of in our past. But before that, there were the other miracles that Jesus performed. To begin with, the turning of water into wine. And the raising of Lazarus from the dead. walking on the water, calming the seas, the Sermon on the Mount, feeding 5,000 people with fish and bread, healing the blind man, curing the lepers, curing that lame man. That couldn't have been made up. You know, that was not just fantasy. That happened to one extent, to a certain extent or another. They just didn't create that out of nowhere. That's logical. So, and if I kind of wander here and there and change my train of thought, don't be too concerned. That's just the way I am. But before I continue on, let me... Okay, here comes Goldie. Hi, Goldie. How are you? Want to go back in? Okay, the dog, yeah, just let her back in the house. She went out in the backyard and did her thing. So, one has to understand that in the history of the world, there has been extraterrestrial intervention in our past. The evidence is overwhelming. There's a good book to read called Chariots of the Gods by Eric von Daniken. And he talks about all the different places in the world where it's very obvious that there have been visitors from outer space who have come to Earth. The pyramids of Egypt, for one example, were constructed approximately 5,000 years ago. And some people may think that they were put together by manpower only with logs and ropes. And that logically to me is impossible because as high as they are, excuse me, I need a drink of water. And as heavy as those stones were, putting them together at that height in such precision, together fitting perfectly, would not have been possible with logs and ropes. To me, that's logical. And so, other places are the Inca ruins. Well, now, are the Inca ruins? What were an incredible civilization? What was an incredible civilization? And the Mayas, the Aztecs, on Easter Island, a civilization, as I talked about in other shows before, the ancient civilization of Lemuria or Mu, Atlantis civilization. There's a lot of evidence in our past of these visitors from outer space. The cave drawings. And even nowadays, I mean, when you consider Roswell and many other interactions with apparent extraterrestrials over the years, it's logical to conclude that they're out there. And as I've mentioned in previous radio shows, and one thing I like about this, I don't know how many people are listening out there in internet radio land, and it's a wonderful medium to reach all over the world. Someone could be listening to me from Russia right now, in northern Russia, maybe in Ireland, or in France, New Zealand, maybe Thailand or the Philippines. all across the United States, in the Yukon Territory, up in Alaska. And it is certainly exciting to know that people are listening. And when this show is over, it'll be archived. And that's one thing I like about this, that information that I'm putting out is there in the BBS radio archives for me or anyone else to listen to again. This good information that I believe is valuable to the world. God, creator, master of the universe. I've explained this before, what I believe in regard to how this whole everything began out of nothing. A magic that's difficult to comprehend. A power that can create matter simply by thinking it, willing it into existence. And everything that's ensued throughout the light years. Hold on, another dog is scratching on the door to come out. Be right back. That was the same dog. Anyway, I think I could, I don't want to be distracted, so she really didn't want to come out. And I wish I, it is so nice out here in my patio. One thing I like to do on my radio shows is not to think of anything negative, always to accentuate the positive. And I'm thinking, I believe I'm doing pretty well with that. Today has been a good day. As I mentioned, I went to three services, the Easter Sunrise service, and then the Protestant and Gospel service we combined. I usually go to the Gospel service. I'm a member of the Gospel Choir, and we sing all these beautiful praise songs to the Creator. And also the Catholic service. My wife is Catholic, but we usually go to the Gospel service. But going back to what I was saying, the Supreme Creator of the universe created everything with the Big Bang initiating it all. And then one solar system after another, one galaxy after another. And part of the Supreme Creator's plan was to put an infinitesimal piece of his, herself into human beings. So the Supreme Creator could experience what we're experiencing and then later assimilate all the experiences and knowledge that we gain into the ocean of his, her spirit like a drop of water. That's why we are here. Also, we are gods in the making. We are trying to be like co-creator gods. In this university of the universe, planets are like schools. Some are lower, evolved, lower education, like Earth is like a kindergarten. And then there are some planets out there that are like university. In the meantime, we evolve, we reincarnate on other planets, all the while evolving, developing ourselves spiritually to, until one day we can be co-creator gods and have our own solar systems, our own sun, planets, and children by the thousands and millions. On our sun, there's a spirit mother and father who may or may not have created our soul and spirit. Some of us souls are advanced old souls who are what Sylvia Brown called mystic travelers, who travel from one galaxy to another, helping the people in the lower evolved planets, the younger souls, if you will. And so now, going back to Jesus Christ, a few thousand years ago, well, let's just be specific, I'll be specific, around the time when Jesus of Bethlehem was born, there was a lot of bad things going on in the world. I don't like calling it evil, but the human race had gotten astray. There was a lot of corruption, a lot of wrongdoings, there was sexual immorality, there was killing. They had the wrong idea about religion. People in power were leading others down the path like lambs to be slaughtered. And so the time was ripe for divine intervention. As I mentioned, we've been monitored in our past by many extraterrestrial races. And so let me just make a case for that, logically. Here on Earth, there are many thousands of types of life. So, obviously, we're dealing with a creator who created this all and has the knowledge and power to create the same life or maybe a different life elsewhere in the universe. If this all happened by accident, if you're an atheist, I don't think you are, or an agnostic, listening to my radio show, then you would logically have to believe that it could happen elsewhere by accident. But ultimately, eventually, one has to understand that there is a creator. And as I was talking about, the plan is for us to be co-creators. If you can die, if I can die, then we're a God in the making. If you have a brain and a heart, you're a God in the making. There's no other reason why you're here than to become like God. And 2,000 years ago, when Jesus of Bethlehem was born, there was a race of extraterrestrials who were, among others, the ones who are most entrusted with our care, because whether it's a co-creator God or the supreme creator of the universe, things work in a specific way. You can't go outside the normal physical laws of the universe. When it comes to physical matter, things have to happen a certain way. There can't be fantasy. It's reality. And that's one thing we're stuck on here on Earth, the difference between fantasy and reality. You can see it in the movies that we watch. We're obsessed with fantasy. You see a lot of fantasy violence. We don't really understand the nature of reality. This being a lower category planet, there's a lot of young souls here, I believe. And one of the characteristics of young souls is to not really know who they are or where they came from. Isn't that way what we really all want to know? Not necessarily. Some people are satisfied with their lives without any spiritual development at all. You know, they have a job. They're concerned with money and power, raising children. Of course, that's natural. But then again, we all know that we're minded constantly driving down the highway. There's been so many deaths on the roads, you know, here in Texas. Every few days, they let us know, well, so far this year, 1,000 people died on Texas roads. Okay, well, it wasn't me. That's the kind of attitude I think people have. I'm not trying to be a fearmonger, but the reality is people like you and I are dying out there, not only on the roads, but many other ways, you know, here on Earth. Nature can kill us in many different ways, from hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis, volcanoes exploding, there's animals that can eat us, you know, insects that can poison us. But anyway, so in coordination, shall we say, with the co-creator gods, and of course the supreme creator's wishes, because they're, when we become a co-creator god, I think, and you have your own solar system and your own planets and your own children, and our spirit mother and father live on the sun, because the sun is a special fire, and our spirits that we have in our bodies at this time are made of light energy. Really, fire is light energy. When we leave our body, we hope one day, and also hopefully sometime in the distant future, right? Because we don't know if it could be tomorrow, that our spirit would go to a place that is beautiful and perfect, like it's talked about. Most religions believe in a heaven, if you will. Spirit land, spirit world, a world of light. And the only world of light that you can see, that we can see, is in our solar system. And that's reality. That's logical. People are willing to believe that the spirits of those who do bad things, like murderers, rapists, abusers, go to hell in the center of the earth and are tortured and suffering in hellfire, lava fire. It says so in the Bible. Well, if they can exist there, why couldn't a spirit like we have exist on the sun? It's just a different kind of fire. It's still fire. It's a fire in the sky. But then again, that's synonymous, characteristic of a species, of a race, of beings who are in the lower stages of evolution, not knowing that the sun is the spirit world. So there is a race of extraterrestrials that exists out there that have been monitoring our planet for thousands of years. And they're hermaphrodite, which means they're both male and female. And I've noticed something, and I think you probably have too. More so nowadays, there's a lot of transgender spirits being born into bodies here on Earth. And spirits of the opposite category, in other words, a lot of male spirits being born into female bodies and female spirits being born into male bodies. And I believe this is to help make the world a better place, make us more understanding of each other, love each other more. I saw a young, I'll call him a person, yesterday when I went to Freddy's to get some food. And it's very obvious to me, I can see these people. Some I can clearly see the spirit in them and acknowledge that it's of the opposite sex, if you will. Now, with transgender, that's a little bit different. And I think it's great, really, that there's more of this happening, because it's really in an effort to make the world a better place. And I'm all for making the world a better place. That's why I believe my radio show and the other radio shows and BBS Radio do. That's what they do. That's what we're doing. We want the world to be a better place. If you are out there in internet radio land not making the world a better place, you're wasting your life. You're wasting your life. I don't mean to put it to you in a bad way, but that's the truth. So this race of extraterrestrials, hermaphrodite, they're very tall, and they have had intervention in our past even as far back as Moses and his time. And so all that happened with Moses, with this extraterrestrial race, well, what was that? With this extraterrestrial race, can be attributed, all the miracles, so-called miracles, all the, for example, the what happened in Egypt with the dying of the Nile River, the locusts, the different things that happened, the burning bush, the fire and thunder on Mount Sinai, the parting of the Red Sea, can all be attributed to these extraterrestrials. Moses, as I mentioned, there are certain physical laws that have to be observed here. God does not work the creator in coordination with other extraterrestrial beings who have been told to monitor us, to help us along in our development. Do not go outside the norms of physicality, of universal law. And it's not fantasy. They can't wave a magic wand and things happen, like Moses and his staff, putting his staff in the Red Sea and having it parted like that. It was a tractor beam from a spaceship up above, along to these specific extraterrestrials. That's logical to me. And I know this goes in contradiction to the Bible. Then again, there's a lot of things that I don't believe about the Bible. There's a lot of things I do. I think it's the best account of divine intervention that the world has right now, of divine intervention in our past. Great things were done, yes, but there's a lot more detail to what happened. And as far as the Bible is concerned, take, for example, they say that the devil rebelled and fell from grace, right? Well, who made up that story? I mean, I don't think God actually came down and took a pen and wrote that in the Bible. It came from a man, a person, just like me or someone else. So God talked to them, you're saying. Why can't God talk to me now? That's logical. What makes them any better than me? In fact, I should be better than them because I have the benefit of over thousands of years more of evolution on my side. But as I mentioned, we needed divine intervention in the past. And so, like with Adam and Eve, remember I told you I might offend some people. Who made up that story? Did God tell somebody? Yeah. Did he look over their shoulder and tell them that? Or did God write it? No, it was interpreted by a mind who was supposedly in communication with God. And I'm in communication with God now. I think I'm an advanced soul. Were those men back then more advanced than I am now? Were their souls more advanced? The thing is, we're all spirits and souls on journeys. And we all know each other. When we get to heaven, when we get to that spirit world, that world of light, it is going to be fantastic. There's going to be people from all eras here on earth. All religions, we all get along there. We're only separated by our differences here because we can't talk and come to compromises with things. I'm very content with my spirituality, what I believe in. My faith can't be shaken because I know by that process of logic that what I know, I know. I don't believe certain things. I know them to be true. I know them to be reality and not fantasy. I went to the Catholic service today, and they do things differently there. There's a lot of good things I like about the Catholics, but I see us, we're kind of stuck in a gap here. So talk today by the preacher in the service about Jesus. He actually talked about the one that I went to at 9:30, the combination of the Catholic and the Protestant service. He talked about Isaiah, the prophet, and prophesizing the coming of Jesus thousands of years before it happened. Well, I would have preferred to have a service bringing history to life. You know, tell me about the resurrection. Tell me more about that. Tell me about what happened prior to the resurrection, how Jesus was tortured, and I won't say tortured, but, you know, Palm Sunday, last Sunday, how he came into Jerusalem triumphant, riding on the donkey, and there were palms everywhere. And he knew he was going to die. That was the plan. More than the redemption or the forgiveness of sins, and this is my opinion, I'm entitled to my opinion, more than all that, he knew he was going to die. That was the plan, so he could come back to life, the resurrection. That was the major plan, and really nothing else is more important than that. You can talk about forgiveness of sins. That's secondary. The main thing is he knew he was going to die. He told them. And he said, after 3 days, I will come back to life. And him getting put up on the cross, he said, yeah, I won. I did it. That's all I had to do. And I would do it too, people out there, ladies and gentlemen. God, I would say, send me to a planet like that. There's got to be one somewhere in the universe in that point in time, like we were 2,000 years ago. I don't know if my soul is advanced enough to be able to handle that, because that spirit and soul that came into Jesus' body, I'm talking about three different people here. The Jesus that was born in Bethlehem was not the same Jesus that died on the cross. The Jesus that was born in Bethlehem, by the way, that was divine intervention too. Because that, the soul, the spirit, the astral body that inhabited the body of the baby that was born in Bethlehem. And by the way, that star of Bethlehem up above that shone a very special light on that manger that people could see from a distance. That was an extraterrestrial probe rendered luminous. Another bit of logic there as to extraterrestrial intervention in our past. But that baby Jesus, and you know, we can't remember where we came from, that we had a pre-existence, that we came from heaven, and our goal is to get back to heaven. And so in our pre-existence, we come to this planet here, planet Earth, to maybe develop as a young soul or to help the younger souls in their soul's journey, which is what it's all about. The astral body, the soul and spirit of the man Jesus who came after about 30 years later when the baby Jesus was born. Let me go back and say that the baby Jesus, when he was born into this world, he crossed what is known as the River of Oblivion, when one's memories of the past life or past lives are erased. You don't remember. The brain here on Earth of human beings is hardwired not to remember where we came from and our past lives. That's just the way it is, because the learning here is very special. It's, as I mentioned, it's like a lower school of teaching basic social values. Other planets in the universe are like 12th grade, college, university, even graduate school. Until you get to the highest grade, where it's almost like heaven, if you will. And so the baby Jesus grew up, and he was an evolved soul, don't get me wrong, and he was able to do many great things, astound people with his knowledge. He read to the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. But then, after about age 12 years old, There's absolutely nothing written in the Bible about what he did between age 12 and 30 years. Well, I'll tell you what happened from what I learned. At age 12, he had a brother, Oriki is his name. He went to China and Burma, and his brother, Oriki, died in China, an accident. And Jesus finally made his way, I say the baby Jesus, made his way to Japan, where he got married, had a family, and died of a ripe old age there. And you can check that out on the internet if you don't believe me. But that's not the same Jesus that came down to earth about 30 years later. I think they made the body to resemble the Jesus that who had left and gone to China and Burma. How many of you out there have seen the movie Avatar? Do you remember the blue bodies? How the Marine and what's her name? I forget her name. The actress who was in Aliens. She was in the movie Avatar. So they lie down in these boxes with some great technology, obviously, and they're able to transfer their souls or spirits and souls in their astral bodies into these blue bodies that were created. Well, those blue bodies, you probably didn't give a lot of thought to how those blue bodies were created. And to create a body, period, requires a lot of knowledge. And I don't think it's outside the realm of technology. You've seen the improvements in technology that we've had over the last couple hundred years. Can you imagine what we could do in a million years? And some of these extraterrestrial races out here have had the benefit of existing a lot more time than we have. Because, as you know, the universe was created at the center and then expanded in circular motion, one solar system after another, one galaxy after another. And here we are in the Milky Way galaxy, approximately 15 billion light years from the center of the universe. So you believe that there's life out there. Logically, you know there is, because as I mentioned, that all this life here on Earth, the thousands of different insects, amphibians, mammals, birds, fish in the oceans, if it all happened by accident, it can happen by accident elsewhere, right? Yeah, logical. There's no denying that. It's irrefutable. But if you believe in a creator who has the power and knowledge to create all of this life, indeed the creator is I'm talking about the supreme creator, and that same power and knowledge is endowed to those who know how to handle it. Universal law, cosmic forces, an understanding of how they work is our heritage. We are meant to be like God. We can never be like the supreme creator, but there's only one supreme creator, but we can be like the supreme creator. We can be co-creator gods. We can create. It's like magic. It's a powerful magic, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine creating a sun, the birth of a star, putting those words into motion. Words, as even the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. There's a lot of great things I love about the Bible, but other things, I do have to ask myself, where did they get that story? Where did they find out the devil rebelled? Who made that up? Who told them that? Why do you believe that? The devil is Archangel Lucifer, in charge of the demons and God's jail, hell. Archangel Michael's in charge of the angels. Archangel Lucifer's in charge of the demons. Archangel Lucifer works for God. If God wanted to, God could destroy the devil. Right? If God said, okay, my people are being harassed. You know, they're talking about this harassment all the time, the devil harassing us. Well, I think I'll just destroy him that way and give him a break. I have the power to destroy them, God would say. I have the power to destroy the devil, I mean. But the fact is, logically, I'm saying, is that the devil is none other than Archangel Lucifer, and he works for God. The reality is that we are very sinful at times, and we have a mission while here on earth, and we need to keep that mission. And sometimes we need serious prompting to get us back on the path so that we can complete our mission. People get sidetracked, drinking too much, smoking too much, not even thinking or talking about God. By the way, I love those signs on the side of the road. Thank God, yes. Thank God for someone like that who made that investment to help us remember while we're driving down the freeway that there is a God. People are dying all the time. And it's repenting before we die or just being God-centered is such an important thing in our lives when we never know when today, this day could be our last day. So, back to Jesus. I'm running out of time here. This race of extraterrestrials, the aliens from Thyuba, hermaphrodite, 9 feet tall, with long hair, beautiful hair, powerful, extremely intelligent people. They've been traveling space for thousands, if not millions of years. They've seen everything that's happened in our past. They've been monitoring us. They don't want us to go astray. Right now, we're at a critical time in our history where we have the power to destroy ourselves with nuclear bombs. And we really don't want that to happen because our eternal souls are at stake here. We don't want to leave this planet in cinders, if you know what I mean, and have that on our conscience as we go forward into the future and our soul's journey. So, yes, we discovered how to split the atom, you know, back around in the 40s. We needed to. In World War II, we were looking for a way to defeat the enemy, right? Did you know that the Germans were very, very, very close to developing the atom bomb? And if they had of them, you know how different things could have been. But so these, and it's always the same throughout the universe from what I understand. You know, some species at a certain stage in their evolution discovers how to split the atom, and then, you know, it's touch and go from there as they go forward. And we're blessed, really, for each day that we have, my friends, be grateful for every day that we have. It's important, really important, to make the world a better place. And I pray, my prayer is that we will not destroy ourselves, that we will learn to love each other. We should be adoring each other, acknowledging each other as brothers and sisters in spirit. Going back to Jesus, so when he appeared, he had a mission, and that mission was for 3 years. And among other things, well, better stated, he wanted to prove that God is real, that there is an afterlife. And so the miracles that he performed were part of that, and indeed he performed many great miracles, but logically he had to have some help. He had to have some help from up above when he walked on the water. According to my beliefs, and you can believe what you want, but have some rationale behind it too. Also, be logical. Walking on water is not something that a physical body can do unless you want to create some fantasy scenario. But for the most part, people don't give much thought about when Jesus walked on water, but I submit to you, there was a spacecraft up above, and the technology that we've seen in movies like Star Trek and Star Wars is not that far-fetched when you, as I mentioned, consider all the advancements that we've had, technologically speaking, over the last couple of hundred years. Give a civilization that existed a lot longer than we have. Thousands, if not millions of years of developing their technology, which is probably similar, then something like beaming up and beaming down and tractor beams and matter transformation is not that far-fetched. Talking about matter transformation, Sermon on the Mount, beaming down bread and fish, feeding those 5,000 people, calming the seas, is easy to do when you have technology that understands the rotation of a planet on its axis and its revolution around the sun. Technology can alter a planet's revolution if necessary. Turning water into wine, matter transformation, a simple thing, surreptitiously done by an individual with a maybe device. When they asked for more wine, he had those six containers of water. Just easy to turn that into wine with technology. Raising Lazarus from the dead. He might have been sick. So let's say that the night before he dies, some extraterrestrial beam down, they administer some kind of drug to his body, which slowed the heartbeat down to where it seemed like he was dead. They put him in the tomb. 3 days later, he'd been sleeping all this time. They thought he was dead, but his heartbeat is still going. Jesus said himself, he's still alive. He was still alive. So the night before that Jesus performed that miracle, an extraterrestrial beams down into the tomb, administers another drug surreptitiously to bring him back, restore his vital signs, if you know what I mean. So when the stone is rolled away and Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth, he comes forth. Jesus says, give him something to eat. Yeah, because he hasn't eaten for a couple of days. He had to have been hungry. But it made him look like he was a great miracle worker, and that was the plan. And he did it. He accomplished that. Otherwise, people wouldn't have believed in what that Jesus said. And so that astral body, as I mentioned in Avatar, was from a very advanced soul on the planet of Thyaubos, which is in our Milky Way galaxy, home to these hermaphrodite extraterrestrials. And so he agreed to come to Earth to perform that mission, and then came inside that body that they made with their great knowledge, their elders, if you will, on that planet, created a human body. Like in Avatar, they created that blue body. Oh, what knowledge and incredible technology it takes to make a body. Imagine that, a heart that beats independently of the will, lungs that purify the blood, thousands of veins, thousands of miles of veins in the body, the brain, the central nervous system. Such an incredible mechanism or thing the human body is. And so, just like in Avatar, the astral body, spirit, of this individual, whose name was Arioch, inhabited that body, made to look like the Jesus who was born in Bethlehem, I believe, looked like. And then for those 3 years, he started out. They came down in a spaceship probably at nighttime, and they're able to tell, you know, who was where when people were sleeping. Even if maybe one or two people saw them, no big deal. They wouldn't know what the spaceship was. And maybe they could cloak themselves, too. They let him out. He knew how to speak their language. He knew what he had to do. He was in constant communication with the spaceship in case they needed to beam him away, beam him up. You know, like when he got in trouble and got stoned, almost they were seeking to stone Jesus more than once from the things that he said. And they looked for him, and he disappeared, right? Logically. This just doesn't happen, you know, out of nowhere, if you know what I mean. He was beamed to another location by the spaceship. When he healed the blind man, they knew his condition. They had examined him before, surreptitiously, you know, secretly, understood why he was blind, and knew that a special chemical substance that was administered to his eyes would help cure him. They gave that to Jesus. He put that, it wasn't just mud and water, no. It was a special chemical. This is what I believe. Excuse me. But let's go now, because I'm running out of time, to the actual resurrection. Excuse me. So, he gets upon the cross. He's accomplished his mission. Excuse me. Want to drink water? Talking a lot. Need to lubricate my throat. So, he says, when he, his physical body, he knows he's about to die, it is accomplished. And he says, Father, probably pray more for the benefit of the people who were there than anything else. To you, I commend my spirit. And his physical body died. He's put in the tomb. And the extraterrestrials beam into the tomb later on. They recover the body, take it back to the spaceship. They patch it up, even so that the scars are still there in his hands and his feet. Just like an avatar, he pops back into the body. They let him out of the spaceship. They probably beam him to a certain location. And he makes himself visible to the disciples. He appears in the room. They say the doors were locked. Easy technology there, just like in Star Trek. He beams down. They don't know any difference, right? The doors were locked. Eight people that were in the bell. The doors were locked. He beams in. He breathes on them. They're convinced that something incredible has happened. Of course it was. But they're able, with that faith that they had from all that they'd seen, him dying on the cross, coming back to life, talking to them afterwards, breathing on them, giving them a mission to go forth and teach the gospel, which they did till the day they died. Peter, John. And then he ascended. Easy technology. Rise up in the air, up into the spaceship up above, behind the clouds. They don't know any different. Back then, in those days, they just had barely discovered the wheel, if you know what I mean. So some things they couldn't explain, just like with Moses, too. You could say, yes, it was God, or it was an angel, but what about some extraterrestrials, which I believe happened? They were the ones that had that intervention in the past. The people back then, they didn't know anything about extraterrestrials living on another planet. My God, it was only until like 1500 when Copernicus said that Earth isn't at the center of the solar system and the universe. That we revolve around the sun, and our sun revolves around the center of the Milky Way galaxy, and our galaxy revolves around the center of the universe. So, then, the resurrection is possible. Watch the movie Avatar, again, my friends, if you haven't already. The director, James Cameron, has probably read that book, that same book that I read about what I just explained to you. And I recommend it to you. Read it also. It'll change your mind. It's my Bible, if you will. I love the Bible. As I said, I don't believe everything. I believe most things. I think it's an incredible account of divine intervention in our past. But some things, I just, in my logical mind, I say, okay, who told them that? Who said that the devil rebelled? Who said that Adam and Eve existed? God didn't take the pen and write that himself. You agree? Logical? So did God want them? How do you know that God actually spoke to them in that exact way? Does God speak to you? It should speak to you. Why not? I think you're more evolved than they were back then. The only difference is that they needed help back then. That's why divine intervention. We are doing okay right now, I think. We're doing very well. Our technology is developing at an incredible rate. It's amazing to be able to speak to my stepdaughter in Japan, to see her on the phone over there. You know, that's just one example. The cars we drive are so technologically advanced, it can take an aircraft on the other to the other side of the world in just a matter of a few hours. Tell that to somebody who lived 200 years ago, and they would have thought you were crazy. So let's keep developing ourselves technologically. But my friends out there, please develop yourself spiritually too. Our technology and spiritually are like hand in hand. Take your left hand, your right hand, please. The left hand, let's say, that's technology. The right hand is spirituality. They have to go hand in hand. We need to keep them in touch with each other so that we don't have robots that take over the world. I saw a movie today called Replicas with Keanu Reeves. We don't want that to happen. It's a very, very possible thing. As our technology increases, we don't want to be destroyed by a race of robots who don't have any souls. You know what I mean? We don't have any souls. So we need to be in total control of our technology. But my friends, I'm running out of time now. And I had so many other subjects that I wanted to talk about. But I really wanted to, and I've said it on other radio shows before in the past, this situation with Jesus. What I've said, I learned from that book. It's called Abduction to the Ninth Planet, or the Thayahuba Prophecy. Please get that book and read it. It's an incredible read. The author is Michael Desmarquette. Abduction to the Ninth Planet, the Thayahuba Prophecy. It is incredible. And the author is so funny. He puts things in a very understandable way. And he emphasizes at the beginning of the book, you need to read this book several times. And this is no joke. This is real. And the advanced souls out there know what I'm talking about. We're in serious times, you know. We're still in a precarious situation with our future here on Earth. And this is such a wonderful world, my friends. Beautiful, such a beautiful, beautiful world with all this life. And we should love this world and respect it. We need to believe in global warming as a reality. It's true. And I'm guilty of polluting the atmosphere just like anyone else. I don't have a car that has electric batteries. I mean, electrics and batteries. You know, I don't have a hybrid. I have just a four-cylinder engine. So I suppose it would be worse if I had an eight-cylinder engine. That's why I don't have an eight-cylinder engine, because I am environmentally minded and I want to do my part in preserving the environment and the ecological system. It's a beautiful world, my friends. Keep it. Care for it, please. It's not, the damage is not irreversible. We can still do the right thing. I love you. May God bless you. Remember, the greatest prayer, and I challenge you to say this prayer every day, please. I say it all the time, especially when I get in my car. When I hit out on the highway, on those dangerous freeways. May God bless us, everyone. Please, have the courage to say that. I love you. May God bless you. Until the next time, goodbye.